Welcome to the Marketing Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Shane Barker, and today I have with me Eric Stockton, the General Manager at Perfect Audience, a company that helps marketers increase their ROI through retargeting. In today's episode, we're going to discuss why it's important to break down silos in marketing. I also wanted to know about how Perfect Audience can help us do that. Before we talk to Eric Stockton, I wanted you to know that you can always reach out to my team if you want to boost your company's visibility online. We can help you with content marketing, online PR, SEO, social media marketing, and more. For more details, you can visit our website at shanebarker.com. Now that we got that covered, let's start the podcast episode. All right, you guys, today we have Eric Stockton, is the gentleman in charge. He just waved on a podcast, which I do love because we've already been talking for about 10 minutes or 5 minutes. And I can already tell you guys, this is going to be a fun podcast because he's a little bit of a smart aleck, which is the only type of people I like to interview. And so we're going to have some fun on this today. So Eric, for the two or three people out of the 10 people that listen to my podcast that don't know about you, why don't you give us a little breakdown of like where you grew up and kind of give us a little background?
Sure. So I was born and raised actually in Indiana, in the cornfields of Indiana, and very quickly, I don't know, high school years, moved to Florida. And went to the University of Florida, where I studied food science and human nutrition, believe it or not. And three buddies of mine, we co-founded a little tech company right there in my dorm room at UF, and grew that up over the years. It was not at all my plan. I was, this is sort of pre-tech, pre-e-commerce. There was no Amazon.com. This was back in the day. And, we had a lot of, figured a lot of stuff out,
Yeah.
So food science, human nutrition was not in the cards for me. Actually, that was funny. It was actually my way into dental school, and dental school was definitely not.
I was quick, huh? You're like, and that's not, let's make a right turn.
Yeah, not going to do that.
It's the Gators, right? In Florida. Yeah. So yeah. I'll tell you, man, I've been out to Florida. I used to have a consulting gig, which is a whole nother conversation. I was out there for 6 months. And I do think that the people of Florida would kill for the Gators. Like, I've never seen so many people wearing Gators stuff. I mean, everywhere. And I would be scared if you were the opposite of a Gator and you wore something. I don't know if you would make it out of Florida. Like, I remember seeing it everywhere, like probably bigger. I'm not going to say bigger than the Dolphins, but potentially bigger than the Dolphins, like insane.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gator Nation. You go to an airport and you're going to see somebody in Gator gear for sure.
It blew me away. I was like, because you see different football teams and this, that, and the other, but I remember thinking in Florida, I thought, man, I need to go pick up something Gator related. Like, even if it's not even about the football team, like I need to have a Gator on me just for safety, just to make sure that you're affiliated.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's such a great town too. I don't know if you've ever been to Gainesville, but it's sort of this awesome sort of combination of a small town feel, with, obviously the university right there, very young and just a really interesting, like energetic vibe to it. And then they've got an entire startup scene that's downtown.
It's huge.
Which is actually how Sharp Spring came about.
Well, and I actually know the guys at Sharp Spring, which is a whole nother conversation, but the funny part for me is when I was down there in Gainesville, my son, and this is many moons ago, but he was in football and he was part of a team here in California that they actually went out there and played in Florida. So I've been there. I mean, just an awesome stadium is absolutely insanely crazy and awesome. Yeah. And so I have nothing but good things to say about Florida and especially Gainesville. And I know that startup community, I know Rick and those guys over there. Once again, some phenomenal people. I've known them for a long time and now you've got a good things going there. So how big was your family growing up? Like how many brothers and sisters?
Yeah. So I've got a brother and a sister, both younger than I am. So they had that to deal with, with the older brother.
Yeah. Did you just protect him for anything? You still protect your sister or do you just kind of let her go off? She's free now.
She's married. So she has that, she has her husband to do that, but,
good.
Still the big brother. And, I think, it's an interesting thing. 4th of July for my family is pretty awesome. So we've got both sides of my family, my mom's side and my dad's side, they married when they were pretty young, 21, I think, 20, 21. And, you know, so they didn't live but like 5 miles away from each other. And, and so both sides of my family are all, you know, like they all get together, and it's a really neat thing when you get to 4th of July and there's, you know, 150 people there, that you haven't seen in, well, since the last 4th of July. So it's fun. Yeah.
I love that. And I tell you, that's one thing I've always been jealous of people that families that are, that get together like that. Like when you have the, especially 4th of July or anything that's, you know, festive. And I just, when you see those kind of things, like my wife and I, like we have, you know, we have a lot of friends, but it's like, you know, we'll get together with two or three people. And I'm like, what, how do I get invited to the big parties? Like the people over there that like block off the street and the city's involved. And there's like cranes bringing in, you know, like blow up tents and all this other stuff. I'm like, I feel like I need to pick up some new friends here. And so yeah. I don't know. That's awesome. I love that kind of stuff.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I've got, you know, you got the big barn in the background and the pond, and the kids are all jumping in the pond. It's pretty picturesque, actually. It's pretty cool.
It's like a Norman Rockwell picture, a painting. I just see this picture of me going, that's where I need to be when I get older, or when I mature, or when something happens, maybe one day. We'll see. Awesome. Who knows? Maybe I'll show up to your event, which would be super awkward because you didn't invite me, but that's a whole nother conversation. We could talk about that probably off the podcast. So you said that you're currently in Atlanta, right? That's where Perfect Audience is located right now.
Yeah. So Sharp Spring's in Gainesville, Florida, and Sharp Spring made a decision about a year ago, I guess, to open up a small office in Atlanta and in Buckhead, actually. And my role here has been sort of twofold. One is general manager of Perfect Audience, and then also working on, you know, opening up a small office in Atlanta.
So Buckhead, if I remember, isn't Buckhead like a really pretty rich area?
I think, well, so there are two different, it's where Salesforce is. I mean, if you're familiar with Atlanta at all, so it's in sort of the north end of,
yeah. You know,
Sales Loft, Salesforce, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's like a ton of really cool tech companies up in this way.
Some big players out there. Cool. And what was your, like, coming out of college, like, because that was one thing, and you've already touched on it, like, your degree in college, you know, and I love it when I interview people that are like, I was a whatever, you know, I was a science major, and now I'm doing analytics online, which are usually not hand in hand. Like, what was your first job out of college, or was it, you guys, I know you had started that, you had your little tech startup that you guys started out of your, out of the living room or the dorm room or whatever it was. Was that your first job?
Yeah, it really was. I was that, you know, silly kid, you know, who needed beer money. Right. And that was my thing. Right. I mean, I needed beer money, rent money, you know, so, you know, I was really into computers at the time, and I was building these computers out of my dorm room and, you know, selling them to like professors. And this is back when you had a little PC.
Yeah. You put it together.
Yeah, you put it together and you sort of like, you know, mod it out for somebody or you know, you had these younger, you know, rich kids come along and they're like, yeah, I got mom and dad's money. Let me go and, you know, blow $2,000 on a machine. And so I would build it and I would take their money. And So, you know, and they had the best, you know, gaming system and, you know, in the world for about, you know, 6 months, you know, until something else came along. Yeah. And, you know, it was a great turnover business, right? Because, you know, customers would come back over and over again, because 6 months from now, you know, they need more RAM,
better graphics card, whatever that was. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So actually one of those customers turned into, one of my best friends. And, me and two or three other guys got together and said, you know, let's like figure out how to put this stuff online. Right. And that was like a pretty novel concept back then, right? E-commerce, like the term didn't even exist. Right. And so we were, you know, we were building a website, and it was me and Microsoft. I can't remember Microsoft. It wasn't Paint. It was Front Page. You remember Microsoft?
Damn, that's a flashback.
I know. Right. And so, you know, Microsoft Front Page, I built my own little website, you know, with a couple of pages on it. And then, we started advertising, and that thing, you know, it blew up when we started advertising in some of the right places, and we sort of got a little bit of a reputation. And, you know, first year, I think we did $300,000 or $400,000, you know, in revenue. And the second year was like a couple million. And then we doubled that the next year. And by, you know, at the peak, you know, sort of at the top end, we were doing around 70 million in revenue.
That's incredible. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. Especially back then, it was a different time, right? There was not a lot of competitors, but you guys were, you know, it's like when you start doing this stuff, you're kind of figuring these things out. It's awesome when you get that kind of traction. I mean, obviously a lot of things have changed, and that's kind of the joy of what we do, is that there's always new things to learn, and you kind of evolve through that process. So when did you start working for Perfect Audience? Like it was almost about 2 years ago now?
Actually, no. 3 days from now will be my 1 year anniversary of the acquisition of Perfect Audience. So we're right up at the 1 year mark. Yeah.
Gotcha. 1 year. And then that was Rick and those guys, obviously at SharpSpring, that actually purchased you guys, right? How did that happen? Kind of give me the
breakdown. No, that's a great question. So actually I came in from the SharpSpring side. I used to run this group called Marketing Sherpa, which was, you know, sort of like the Forrester or Gartner research for all things marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you wanted a data point on something, you know, Marketing Sherpa sort of had it. And, you know, shortly after I left Marketing Sherpa and came back to Gainesville, Rick was starting up this tech company, this marketing automation company called SharpSpring. We got to know each other a little bit and sort of just kept in touch over the years. And last June or July, we started talking about this potential. August, maybe, we were starting to talk about this potential opportunity and in Perfect Audience, and they were thinking about acquiring it. And, you know, one thing led to another, and yeah, we closed on it November 21st, 2019.
Wow, almost 1 year anniversary. And so what, with obviously picking up Perfect Audience, and obviously that plays very well into SharpSpring and what they do, why, you know, in regards to that acquisition, why do you think that was a good acquisition? How did that make sense in regards to SharpSpring, and how did that fit in?
Well, I'll give you my take on it. I think, you know, when you think as a marketer, you know, all of the different sorts of tech stack, you know, marketing stack, point solutions that you can sort of like put on your credit card bill, right? So I'm kind of thinking, you know, like, you know, your chat bot and your email solution and maybe your marketing automation solution, and you got your CMS and your CRM and, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
You know, you sort of like, you know, try to stitch all of those things together with maybe some integrations, or, you know, maybe you've got Zapier or something that's sort of like stitching all of those things together. You know, I think, you know, one of the things that we really miss as marketers, like we try to like, you know, put a solution in place of the core problem. And the core problem is, you know, how much money am I putting in and how much money am I getting out, and where do I double down and what's working and where do I cut back on what's not? And this acquisition, I think, from SharpSpring, Perfect Audience, sort of helps us get a whole funnel view of what's happening, all the way from an first ad impression to, you know, a conversion and everything in between in the life of the lead. And that to me has been what's sort of drawn me to this whole thing. It's been fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's invaluable. I mean, it really is understanding that full picture. Cause that's, you know, we always joke around about marketing is that, you know, yeah, I'm spending 10 grand a month and 5 grand is working. I just don't know which 5 grand, right? It always comes down to like, where do I take away from and add to, and, you know, what's that? And I think that I would agree with you. I think that fills in that void for you. It's like, great, we have automation, but then we got to figure out like how we're going to be able to bring people into the automation process, and then having that full cycle and seeing, once again, for every dollar I'm spending, I'm making $2, and how does that look? So who would, in your opinion, I mean, you know, I think about this, who would benefit most from the software, from Perfect Audience? I mean, I obviously have my opinion on this, but what is your opinion in regards to who could benefit the most, and what kind of companies was it really designed for?
So, that's a great question. So Perfect Audience started out of Y Combinator in 2011. And, you know, it was founded, you know, in a YC class. They exited, you know, they raised their Series A. Really smart, you know, really smart people in the ad space and really just, you know, developers, right? Sort of thinking about like, how do you build this, you know, this thing? And, you know, what it's sort of evolved into since then, and especially since we have sort of come in, is to understand like the kind of marketer that's using Perfect Audience. You know, you got to sort of take a step back and say, okay, well, the core problem, the marketer kind of, wakes up in the middle of the night, right, with a pain point, and it's not, what digital advertising solution do I need, right? That's not their pain point. It's not, marketing automation or, email solutions. That's not, they don't wake up in the middle of the night with that kind of, that kind of like fear, right? The thing that they wake up in the middle of the night is, how, if they're an entrepreneur, for example, that's like, how am I going to get, enough revenue out of this thing so I can go and raise, some money, or, and hire some people or make payroll next month, right? Or down the road, if they're a more established company, in a marketing, maybe they've got 3 or 4 people in a marketing department, small marketing department, it's how do I make my numbers, this quarter, next quarter? How do I get the growth out of this thing, that I need? How do I keep my job, right? I mean, these are like fundamental like questions. And so the kind of customer that we serve are the ones that are a little bit larger. They're in a marketing department, 3 to 5 people, give or take, that, in a company, 3 to 5 mm-hmm. people or so, and, are trying to, really get a holistic view of their marketing, and going back to what we were talking about, just understanding, sort of the entire funnel view of what's happening from ad, all the way to conversion. And then also the agencies that serve them, right? So you've got these digital agencies that are out there that have clients just like this one, this marketer, and, maybe they don't have enough time. They've sourced it to a digital agency, and that digital agency is looking to be able to come in and come up with, really great, performance solutions for, for their clients. And they want an easy way to be able to sort of look at everything independently, like all the different channels, right? You got Google, you got Facebook, you got all these different places where you can do display, and, you pull all of that in under one roof, and you can really start to see how your campaigns are performing and understand, like independently, from an attribution standpoint, independently, how they perform. And then again, where do I double down? Where do I cut back? And how do I get, how do I get the performance?
And I think that's the value of seeing that in one dashboard, right? Being able to see all that, because it's hard to kind of understand where you're spending your money. And when you put that together, now it's a lot easier to be able to attribute that and say, okay, now we can look at this and figure out, hey, where we need to take away and where we need to add to.
Yeah.
So
one of the things that I think that's a great point, by the way, think about it this way, like as, when I, for my own marketing campaigns, I'm just going to put my own marketer hat on for a second. For my own marketing campaigns that I used to run, in my past life, one of the things that I would always, just crack me up was and frustrate me all at the same time is I have a conversion. I've got a single customer that came through my funnel, and I'm, great. And what, so then I log in to like Google Analytics, and I log into Facebook, and I see, well, where did this guy come from? And, over here in Google Analytics, I see a conversion, right? And then I turn around, and over here in Facebook, in the Facebook Analytics, I see a conversion. Well, I only got one customer, but I got 2 conversions. Where did he come from? Right. And so understanding, where they really came from, Google likes to claim the credit. Facebook, of course, is going to like to claim the credit. But what Perfect Audience sort of does is it says, okay, we don't really care one way or the other. We're sort of platform agnostic or channel agnostic. What we care about is where did it actually come from that drove that sale? Right. And, we're sort of that independent, single source of truth.
And I love that, because I that's if I had a dollar for every time that I'm looking at 2 different platforms that are claiming the one lead that came in, it's like, yes. And then the client's like, so what happened here? And you're like, everybody just wants to claim the kid for when it comes to tax time, everybody wants to claim the kid, and get the rebates so you spend more money. So yeah, I love that, the fact that you guys are able to go in there and disseminate that. So tell us about some customers or clients you guys have had that have big successes with you guys that have had probably those issues of coming in and going, hey, I think this is working. I'm not fully aware if this is totally working and where do I need to take money away and where do I need to add money to, and give us some good stuff.
Yeah. So I think it's a good question. We have multiple use cases, right? I mean, we've worked with Sotheby's, you know, over the years, and Sotheby's being, you know, a large auction house, you know, worldwide,
huge.
Right?
Huge.
Yeah, huge. And so, you know, Sotheby's is interesting because, you know, they don't just have US basically geo targeting, you know, they're also doing international, and now you got GDPR and all these other kinds of things that are coming into play, you know, Rackspace, you know, SendGrid, who was just obviously acquired not too long ago, 99 Designs, you know, Eventbrite, DigitalOcean, you know, these are companies that, you know, it's sort of an interesting sort of cross, right? So we have, you know, B2B, right? On, you know, and these are companies that are coming in, they're saying, I need to drive more leads, you know, from the audience that I have. And we have B2C, you know, where, you know, these are people that are trying to drive conversions or new sales and drive revenue. On the other end of the spectrum. And it's interesting to me that we get to sort of sit back. This is the fun part to me. You know, you'll sort of, I don't know, nobody can see my face, but I'm smiling, you know, you know, so, you know, we get to sit back and we sort of get to look at a cross section of the web, right? And understand web and social, and really understand across these thousands of campaigns that are running, you know, what's working, you know, in verticals and what's not working, you know, and, you know, it was really interesting, like during COVID, you know, like you could see like just the numbers move. You could see how certain advertisers in, like, we had an advertiser in the travel industry focusing on Italy. And if you remember, you know, that was a tough, that's tough.
Brutal.
Back then, because Italy, like, they had this huge, you know, blow up in the early on. And so, you know, this guy, obviously, you know, he's spinning down his campaigns and he's pausing for a while until things sort of blow over. And then, you know, on the other side, you see all these e-commerce sites just blowing up, right? You know, and they're just getting huge. And, you know, meal delivery obviously was huge. Local stores, you know, really trying to drive revenue, you know, because now they don't have in, you know, seating anymore. So they're trying to do meal delivery and they're doing advertising for that. So it was an interesting sort of shifting, you know, in what was happening across that cross section.
That's awesome. Well, I love it when you have data like that, you can kind of start to see trends and things that are going on. And it's like, you feel like, yeah. I'm not going to say God by any means, but you're kind of like, oh, this is interesting. I kind of see this and now I can understand where to put money in. Once again, we talk about putting money in and taking money away. So what does the future look like for Perfect Audience? And when I know you guys are working on some other cool features because we've obviously done a review. So what do we got going? Because can you give us any good stuff? Or I mean, giving tell us some stuff that you're not supposed to tell us? I mean, come on, don't be shy.
Yeah, no, I mean, we don't really hold back. I think, you know, what we're trying to do is get back to what I was saying earlier, right? Which is, you know, a marketer, you know, you and I, you know, just putting ourselves in these shoes, like, you know, we know that, you know, we are trying to figure out how to understand a holistic view of what's happening, you know, in the life of a lead. And so when somebody comes along and says, you know, I'm spending my money and, you know, I need to really understand, you know, how it's behaving and what the ROI is on these various campaigns, you know, and it's not just, you know, the worst marketing programs I've ever seen, the worst marketing just in general. And I've done a lot of consulting and things in the past and, you know, and I'll like sort of parachute into a company and I'll look at the business and I'll be like, you know, everybody's optimizing based on their job title. Right. So what happens is they come in and, you know, it's like, okay, the email guy, he's got his email stuff going on and, you know, he's got his metrics, he's got his KPIs, and you got the ad guy, he's got his metrics and his KPIs, and you got the, you know, I don't know, whatever, right. Content person. And oh my gosh, like how in the world do I drive that? Like, or tie that to revenue, you know, that's those kinds of, you know, kinds of things. And then what ends up happening is, you know, you've got the marketing manager or the, you know, the director or, you know, CMO, if you're large enough, whatever. And, you know, that person's just like trying to juggle like how all this stuff works. And, you know, it's too siloed, right? We need to break down these silos and look at marketing for what it is, which is the way that the CEO and the CFO and the owner or the investors, you know, look at your business. You know, it's not departmentalized and it's not chopped up into little cross sections and little mini KPIs that operate in a silo. It is, I put a dollar in and I get $2 out, right? I am looking at like things from a holistic perspective. I need to know where I need to put my money in, you know, and I need to know how fast it's going to come back to me. I need to know how fast you can grow this thing, right? Those are the things that drive businesses. And that's what we're trying to solve.
And I think that's the key, because it is, things are very siloed. And at the end of the day, an investor or an owner really doesn't care about the silos. They want to know how it all works together. Like, is it driving revenue? And how do you do that, right? And how is that happening, right? And you can't go and say, well, the email person is doing this and I think they're doing a good job. It's like, well, I don't care. I just care about, is it driving revenue? And how is it driving revenue? Do you know what's really happening? Because most CMOs, a lot of CMOs don't know, right? It's like, this is all coming together. I think we're doing a pretty good job, but it's not that having that full holistic picture and being able to truly understand that. So I think that's awesome that you guys because it's been a pain point for a lot of people that I know, for sure. People that I've interviewed and talked to outside of my podcast, of like, hey, there's a lot of moving pieces here and I'm trying to see what's working.
Thanks, Eric. It's been an absolute fun conversation. We will wrap up this segment, but on the next episode, Eric will talk about the state of digital advertising. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Marketing Growth Podcast.